Good evening and welcome to the July, second meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. To start with, we will start with introductions. On my right,
Stacy Smith representing South Kitsap.
Jonathan Tudan, South Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Good evening, Richard Shattuck from Central Kitsap.
Carrie Kaltenborn, South Kitsap.
All right, and I'm Joe Phillips from North Kitsap.
Progress.
Okay. The hybrid meeting protocols, you need to silence your speaker. Yeah, okay. Sorry. All right, so out of respect for people speaking and listening, please mute all microphones, cell phones, and other electronic devices prior to entering the meeting. When not actively speaking, also allow an audible record, please refrain from conducting conversations with other members of the audience or staff during the meeting. If testifying, approach the microphone, state your name and area of residence for the record. For members of the public wishing to comment during the public meeting or hearings during designated public comment times, the following options are available. For internet users, please click on the raise hand feature to signal that you would like to comment. The sound will be unmuted and the internet participant should announce his or her name. The participant will be called upon to speak at the appropriate time. For call-in users, please dial *9 on your keypad to signal that you would like to comment. The last four digits of the call-in number will be announced and the sound will be unmuted. You may need to dial *6 to unmute your phone. Written comments can be provided to the Planning Commission and presenting staff members prior to the meeting if received in the office via email or presented to staff and or sent to awalston@kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. on the day prior to the meeting. Comments received after 2 p.m. the day prior to the meeting will still be forwarded for consideration, but the Planning Commission and staff may not have a chance to review it before the meeting. To ensure written public comments are read at the proper meeting, written statements should include the date of the meeting and the written comments are intended for, the participant's name, first and last name, whether the participant lives in Kitsap County, and the agenda item or subject that's being addressed. General comments during the public comment period are limited to 2 minutes, and during public hearing, it's 3 minutes. These times are changeable by the chair. With that, we have adoption of the agenda. If hearing no objections on the agenda as published, I will go ahead and approve that. And we move on to the next item, adoption of the minutes. We have two sets of minutes for approval tonight. Do I have a motion for approval of the June 4th meeting minutes?
I move we approve the June 4th meeting minutes as presented by staff.
Second.
Thank you. Any corrections or discussion on the minutes? No? All right. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please raise your hands in the affirmative. All those abstaining? One? Okay. So That's 5 and 1 abstention. That passes. Thank you. And the next set of minutes for June 18th. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the minutes from June 18th.
All right.
Second.
Second. Thank you. Any corrections or discussion on those minutes? No? Okay. All those in favor of approval of the minutes for June 18th, please raise your hands in the affirmative. And that is unanimous. Thank you. We come to our first public comment period. And we have Mr. Palmer.
Okay, I assume you can hear me now.
Yes.
The comments I want to make are a few, but one of the things I want to know is, where are the text provisions the Planning Commission made at your last meeting in the findings of fact? I couldn't find them in that resolution. I think they should be there. Next comment is, where are the maps that are supposed to be in the ordinance? Not hot links, not references in appendix to go to point A or point B or this state agency or that state agency. They're supposed to be in the ordinance, and I don't find any reference to the fact that they're in the ordinance. And I guess my other comment for now is, there's a statement in here that proposed ordinance is consistent with the 15 statewide planning goals. That is simply not true. Kitsap Alliance of Property Owners has already submitted text to say that it's not, it does not implement property rights, and it doesn't implement goal 4, which has to do with housing. Property rights are found under goal 6. I think that there's a deficiency in the proposed findings of fact. Those ought to be corrected before Planning Commission takes action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Let's see. I do not see any other people wishing to speak, so we will close this comment period and move on to the next agenda item, finding of facts for the 2024 critical area ordinance update. And Kathleen Bunnard.
Yes, good evening. Kathleen Barnhart, senior planner with Kitsap County DCD. I want to first start by thanking Planning Commission for your patience, attentiveness, and thoughtful questions during the CAO update process. It's much appreciated. I'm sharing on my screen right now the findings of fact that was submitted for your review and approval this evening. Kitsap County is directed by the Growth Management Act to periodically review and revise the development regulations protecting critical areas. And those designated critical areas, as you know, include wetlands, fish and wildlife, habitat conservation areas, geologically hazardous areas, frequently flooded areas, and critical aquifer recharge areas. Kitsap County's CAO was first adopted in 1998 and last amended in 2017. So Kitsap County began this current update process in early 2023. We had a virtual kickoff meeting in that May. In June, Planning Commission and the public were provided with a best available science summary report and consistency and gap analysis, describing the new best available science and how our current CAO compares to those findings. June through September, staff convened a series of working group meetings to review and discuss these findings with stakeholders, tribes, and appropriate state and local agencies. Presentations were also provided to the community advisory councils during this time. Additional technical memos were later provided based on this early feedback to address the Fish and Wildlife Riparian Management Guidance and frequently flooded areas. And then in March 8th of 2024, the preliminary draft summary matrix of proposed changes and programmatic SEPA DNS were issued for public comment through April 26th. And then additional Community Advisory Council presentations were also held during this time as well. On April 2nd and 16th, Planning Commission held work studies to review the preliminary draft CAO. DCD held open house events on May 14th and May 21st, immediately prior to the public hearing that evening. Planning Commission then deliberated on the preliminary draft and public comment at the June 4th and June 18th meetings. At the end of deliberations on June 18th, this Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend approval of the preliminary draft CAO, incorporating revisions voted on during those deliberations. So those revisions have been added into the matrix as Appendix A to these findings of fact and recommendations before you this evening. So for the record, the final recommendation to DCD reads as follows. And I will scroll down here. To adopt the proposed CAO text as presented by staff and amended by the Planning Commission, the final recorded motion reads as follows. Consider by paragraph and recommend adoption of changes to the 2024 Critical Areas Ordinance as presented by staff and amended by the Planning Commission. This motion passed unanimously and was supported by 8 approved motions that made changes to the March 8, 2024 CAO presented by staff. So with that, I will go ahead and turn it back over to the chair for any questions or moving forward.
Hey, Commissioner Shattuck.
I just have one quick question. I recall in terms of our deliberations and recommendations on all of the 2024 update and times before, is that our recommendation has been to the commissioners, the Board of County Commissioners. This document, we're making the recommendation to the Department of Community Development. Am I just missing what we've always done in the past, or is this a change in terms of our approach?
It's not a change. Title 2108, I believe, does talk about that the Planning Commission provides recommendations to the department rather than the commissioners. That being said, the commissioners will receive the recommendations from the Planning Commission equally as with those with staff. So that is, it may be a change on paper, but not in code and intent.
Okay. Is there any other Commissioner Beam?
Under attachments, you have Appendix A, comment and response matrix. Shouldn't there be something that says, here is the document? Shouldn't the document be an attachment?
So the document was, we have not been able to go through yet and complete adding in those changes into a complete document. That will be finished in time for the next public comment period. However, that matrix does have an additional column from what you reviewed previously that has highlighted what the Planning Commission's recommendations were.
I'm just saying, if you've got an appendix for the comments, shouldn't you have an appendix for the draft document? Shouldn't there be two attachments?
The March 8th draft, you mean? We can do that.
I just think we should be forwarding something to them other than a statement.
So Appendix A is the attachment that has our comments and our motions noted with the track change in red font.
Well, then I think you should clarify your language. I just recommend you have an Appendix B, which is the package.
With the changes or just the March 8th draft.
With the changes, what we approved.
Okay. That was not ready at this time.
Putting the document forward the document.
Not quite sure how this is. We're approving the finding of facts. The attachments are not quite presentable at this point. Are you proposing that we stall the approval of finding of facts until those are ready?
I'm just recommending we have an Appendix B, which is the document that we're forwarding up to the board.
Those changes will be made for the board to consider and additional public comment.
Okay.
These findings are to just adopt the recommendations of this planning commission for the changes made to the March 8th draft.
Right.
And those will be added. Yeah.
So you are saying that you'll, Commissioner Beam's recommendation that the whole package be attached to the finding of facts.
Staff, I don't think you'd have any objection to just adding an Appendix B of the March 8 original draft. There's no complication or legal issue associated with that. Correct.
Well,
that would be fine, I believe. Yes, and maybe our admin team there can clarify, but I do believe we can add that and forward that on for signature.
Right. Well, we have not. Well, just point of order here, we have not brought the motion to approve the finding of facts yet. So at this point, we're kind of getting the argument before the motion. So if we're going to move forward, I need a motion for approval of the finding of facts.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendations regarding Kitsap County Title 19 Critical Areas Ordinance, including the Appendix A attached by staff that outlines the approved language changes by the Planning Commission.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Is there any discussion at this point? No? Okay. In that case, all those in favor of the proposed motion, please signal by raising your hand in the affirmative. And it's unanimous. Thank you. So we are, those corrections will be made and I will be signing off on that document. All right. Our next agenda item is the general public comment period. Okay, Mr. Palmer.
I am flat disappointed that your resolution that you just adopted that says your findings of fact, that they don't include what the Planning Commission did at your last meeting. I don't think you should be forwarding anything to the Board of County Commissioners that doesn't show in black and white or red and white what it is you opined and approved last time. So this is craziness. You've got a blank slate that you're forwarding to the Board of County Commissioners, and you don't know that there might not be even Scribner errors in what you approved last time. So that, to me, it's just craziness.
Okay, thank you for your comments. And do we have anyone else? Okay. I'm closing. Oh, yes.
Good evening, commissioners. Ian Harkins on behalf of Kitsap Building Association. There might be some confusion given the last comment. I'm pretty sure Appendix A is the comment matrix that shows your changes and what it was approved. And given the earlier comments by staff, I just want to be certain that those are going to the Board of County Commissioners and not to the department. So I appreciate that clarification. Given just the changes going on at the Department of Community Development right now, I think it's imperative that your recommended changes go to the board. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. And any other comments? No? All right, I'm closing the public comment period and moving to, for the good of the order, commissioner comments. I'd like to thank everybody for being understanding when I was unable to attend last meeting. Everything worked out fine, so thank you for that. Matt, okay, and then we have a DCD update, the Lattimore permit process review.
Should we jump right in, Caitlin? Okay, super. Hello. Yeah. It's very a real pleasure to be able to address you tonight. My name is Kurt Lattimore. I'm a consultant that the department, DCD department, hired back in January to conduct an assessment of the permit process and offer a set of recommendations to improve the predictability, the efficiency, the collaboration, the timeliness of the development review process. Those recommendations were compiled and presented to the board in early June, and we thought it would be a good occasion now to present a summary of those so that you know what we're doing over on the permitting side. And also at the end of that, you'll see some potential opportunities for us to work together to make some fine-tune adjustments to the underlying codes in specific areas to help accelerate those improvements further. So I have a few slides to go through tonight. And if that is okay, I'll just go ahead and share my screen and take you through that. It's just a few minutes worth to cover tonight and with a bit of time for Q&A. So let me start by asking, are the slides coming through?
Yes.
Okay, super. So a backdrop behind that, this is a set of best practices for local government permitting that was developed early in the early 2000s. I had the opportunity to work with the Department of Regulatory Assistance at the state to meet with jurisdictions all across the state, big and small, cities and counties, talk with development industry groups, local groups, a wide variety of stakeholders to ask the questions, are there specific factors, common factors that when we condense these discussions down are best practices to observe in development permitting? And we arrived at these seven that have had great traction demonstrated ever since, beginning with establishing a mutual understanding between all the parties involved, especially the applicant and the jurisdiction, of what we know about the particular parcel and the proposed development. Next is engaging stakeholders that are involved in this, like agencies such as Fish and Wildlife or the Health Department. Third, and critically, to ensure a complete application comes in the door so that an applicant knows as the design is being developed what success looks like with the permit submittal. And then when that submittal is taken in and distributed to staff, that staff can have conclusive reviews because all the information necessary to understand the proposal are in the application itself. Fourth, to understand the process that we're using and the fee structure around it. Five, to use information technologies. The county here has done a marvelous job over the years through SmartGov and Camino and other tool sets to move forward with information technology improvements, to use flexible staffing strategies that allow not only for the rise and fall of development demand, but also make the best use of the skill sets that we have within the department. Lastly, internal project management, so that inside the department, across the many people who participate in any given development review, that we know who's it and where that project is along its continuum. So with that as a backdrop, we identified that there are five main areas that we're going after here to improve the performance of our permit process. First, right from the get-go, is that ability to get on the same page up front for applicant success. So equipping our applicants or prospective applicants to know what our best available information is, particularly in a GIS format, and being able to interpret that data so applicants can make well-informed decisions way up front. Secondly, complete applications. We had intake screening in place that we've had to diminish over recent years as staffing shortfalls and very large application volumes. It's kind of driven the department over time to reduce that intake screening that we know is very healthy for ensuring complete applications. We're putting that back in place. Fragmented review. Today, when we look at particularly the large projects, they occur over a very extended period of time in small intervals. And so that we have a high degree of fragmentation, more than is common in many development permit agencies. And so we're putting in measures to reverse that trend so that we provide concentrated review times so our reviewers can really get their heads around the review. And secondly, that we create alignment across the different reviewers so we accelerate the overall timetable. Four is around learning curves. There's been a lot of personnel changes in the organization. That's a pattern that's continued. And as new people come into the department, they have to learn the techniques that we use here, how we apply code, how we meet these state standards with our own formulas. And so those learning curves are challenging. It's challenging to have consistency of review as you're coming up those learning curves. And so through tool sets like reviews checklists, we are putting in some structures to help new incoming personnel climb those curves faster. And lastly, access to the department through the front lobby, through expanded hours there, through electronic means that we have in place today, live chat, email, the ability to ask questions that way, to provide greater access to us, particularly on the large complex projects where there's a substantial Q&A that's naturally beneficial, to be able to just pose questions and seek alternatives to allow an applicant to revise plans in a very effective manner, and furthermore, to create clarity in the review team so that we know what we're looking at. So these are the five key elements that our recommendations are aiming at. This is an illustration of the recommended path forward. And I'll add that the board in early June gave us the green light to assemble our implementation plan. We think this is a very good strategy to move forward with. This left track, if you will, are our Title 14s. Think of this as our Type 1 permit stream, that we have a set of recommendations aimed at improving the way that works. And then over here on the right-hand side, we have a similar set of recommendations or a pattern of recommendations towards the land use actions and the SDAP, the effectively the civil plans that we need for the large projects. So I'm going to take you through what those, a quick view of what those look like. There's some really very nice changes coming to our permit process here shortly, beginning with parcel reports. So one of the things that many of our applicants spoke to that I've talked with is that it is difficult to understand the information that the county knows in a readily digestible fashion up front. And further, if a prospective applicant doesn't have a lot of experience in development, some of the terminology involved, some of the indications that we would see that you come to recognize over years of working in this area don't have that immediate thud so that you know, oh, I need to understand more about this. This is important for me to understand. The parcel report is the way to solve that dilemma. This is an example, an early developmental example from Cowlitz County, working down there some years back. We developed a parcel report, and what it does is it allows an applicant or prospective applicant, anyone, to dial into a given parcel through basic navigation tools, and it sorts through the GIS information that we have available on that property and reduces it down to a list of yes or no indications. So on this example here, this had examples of slopes, but it could have been wetlands or stream indications or the like. And then each of the yes indications in our GIS system becomes a hyperlink, so you can click that and learn more about the code of what makes, in this case, a steep slope meaningful and what those key thresholds are. Furthermore, there's a link to a brochure, so you can understand what geotechnical assessment is and how that figures into the development process. And importantly, it categorizes that parcel red, yellow, or green. Red indicating a high degree of development complexity, yellow being an intermediate condition, and a green meaning that we have no known critical area indications on that parcel based on the logic we incorporate in the system. So there's an analog side of this, giving you a kind of that red, yellow, or green indication of what the composite of these yes indications mean in terms of the relative complexity of moving forward with a development on this property. Furthermore, there's a button so you can make inquiries. We envision other features added onto this so it brings the information that the county has up front into the hands of a prospective applicant in a matter of seconds in a form that is approachable with a wide range of existing skill set, whether you're an experienced developer or someone new to this, someone just thinking about purchasing a property in Kitsap County. It allows you to very quickly get an indication of what you should be thinking about or will need to if you were going to develop an application on the property. Furthermore, it's a tool set to use working with health and public works and fish and wildlife and well drillers and septic designers. It becomes very quickly a very well-known known commodity. The parcel report becomes very useful for an applicant, not only working with us, but also with their development team and other agencies.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Am I to interpret that this is available to the public before they even come in? Who That's generates right. this report?
It's programmed into our county GIS systems. So you simply go online, you find the link, you enter your address, click go. Runtime is usually about 10 seconds.
That's wonderful if it's available up front. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, and that's really the key, providing this information up front rather than discovering it through the latter course of design where it becomes more rework prone and expensive. Okay, next, the effect of intake screening. So I'm going to jump here ahead. The next feature I'm going to come back to that data here in a moment, is we're redeploying a set of intake checklists. Today, we have a very nice, sophisticated system, Camino, that is designed for an applicant to upload their submittal, and through a course of Q&A questions, how they answer that, guides the applicant towards what will be necessary for their particular submittal. But what we want to do is to bring this information back in time. So not only do you have a parcel report immediately available to you, you also know what success looks like in terms of the submittal. And for each type of application that we'll be working with, there's a yellow section and a red section at the bottom. So if your unique parcel report, like this one for slopes, indicated you needed a geotechnical assessment, then you know that that becomes part of your required submittal way up front. So this links together not only the information, but the path forward in the process. And so it brings this information way up front early on as well. Furthermore, there's capabilities in GIS. We want to introduce a sketcher. So as an applicant, you can doodle in the system, you can experiment, you can move things around, and you can see in the context of these environmental layers what this will mean in terms of the project. And furthermore, if you engage the county team at an inquiry level, you can bring your sketch with you and your parcel report. And for that matter, instantly someone working with you at the counter can key in that information and have the same parcel report you're looking at in a matter of seconds. So it really organizes the inquiry instead of, hey, I got this property, I'm thinking about doing this. It quickly becomes, here's my concept on this red parcel that I have over here for steep slopes. So very quickly, it allows those parties to come together and have a much more effective, meaningful conversation in a fraction of the time. When we introduce intake checklists into a system and match that up with intake screening so that when it comes in, we actually test the plans to make sure that all these pieces are in place and any yellow or reds that the parcel report indicated. When we do that, as Skagit County found for the implementation of checklists and screening, that roughly 30% fewer correction cycles are necessary. So, and not surprisingly, the more complete the application it is, the fewer round trips you need to go through to collect that information. And then furthermore, since you're reducing the amount of rework in the system, all of the applications tend to accelerate about the same amount. So very meaningful, impactful changes by reinstituting good practices in our intake process and equipping our applicants way up front so that the project can move forward efficiently through its natural design process and arrive on that complete application efficiently. One last piece. When the application comes in the door here on the bottom right, based on whether it's red, yellow, or green, we also are going to differentiate the plan review routing. We can take advantage of that same information as it comes in the door to route the plans that the red plans to our current planners, our yellow plans to our permit technicians, and our green plans that we can do many of those checks in real time as they come in the door. So we can capitalize on red, yellow, and green to create some new efficiencies for ourselves inside the department once those plans come in. So it's an exciting improvement. We expect it to have some really terrific positive benefits to our type one processes. It's an early sketch that our team is already putting together in a Kitsap example. You're starting to see the very early auspices of yes-no lists and a platform to hang these code references off of. So we've already done mock-up level work in our GIS system to give ourselves a lot of confidence that this is a technology that's readily available. And we know that other jurisdictions are doing this, like Cowlitz County. And it's our goal to have this implemented and put in place as a really powerful new tool for our applicants and our teams and our agencies around us that we work with in short order. So on this type one permit side, we've seen the parcel reports and these integrated pieces of checklists and screening, access to staff through making those inquiries efficient and interactive, through red, yellow, green routing that we do inside. And then also our reviewers, we want to equip them with review checklists. So when it's a new manufactured home, for instance, coming in the door, that we have a review checklist that reminds our team what those review steps include. or in this case, a manufactured home, which is not only a great reference for new people coming in to climb those learning curves more effectively, but it's terrific when you are interrupted during the course of plan review to know where you were when you go back to your desk. So within this, there is a staffing addition we're anticipating to provide this expanded access and to provide the personnel that we need to free up our planners to move their capacity over to the land use and SDAP side of the process. Our primary improvement for that side is 2x6. 2x6 stands for 2 review cycles, 6 weeks each. 2x6. This is an example of a flowchart from Gig Harbor that I put together with the city of Gig Harbor some years back. Long and short of it, when you're submitting for an SDAP, you're going to arrange for 2 appointments. One is the intake meeting, and the other is the debriefing meeting. And the structure of the system is that the county plan review occurs over the course of 42 days with known scheduled appointments on either side of it. This appointment is to confirm that the application is complete. The county team has everything that we need to do an effective plan review. And then that plan review occurs. And on day 42, precisely, those results are sent to the applicant, who has a week to review them and then meet with the county team, optionally, to talk Q&A. Okay, you guys said this. This is what I'm thinking for that. I'm looking at this. What do you think of that idea? It's designed, this meeting, the debriefing, to equip the applicant to be able to execute efficiently one redesign that then is resubmitted in exactly the same way 42 days later. The success of the process is that we're talking about an acceptance letter and pre-con and all those things that occur at the end of an SDAP review. So today's process, hundreds of days, and many projects spend years in the SDAP review process. And this process replaces that with 2 6-week review cycles. And then the intervening piece here, where the applicant revises the plan, typically is about another 6 weeks in my experience. And so it represents a substantial acceleration of SDAP review by creating alignment between all the reviewers and a tool set and an internal discipline set of internal mechanisms that allow the team to visibly see this project and execute it over the course of 42 days on time. And it allows that to happen because the application itself is an excellent application that has all the information necessary for conclusive review, be it the first review cycle or the resubmittal. And so this will be a powerful improvement for us. And there are additional pieces that go along with this, but this is an example of the effect of implementing a change like this. This is City of Redmond that I worked with some years back. The bars here represent the number of review cycles that these individual projects, big and small, took to be reviewed for our equivalent of an SDAP review. And then the line in blue represents, on the right-hand axis, the total number of days from first submittal till decision. And when they move from the magenta to the cyan color, that's the implementation of 2x6. In their case, 2x4. But the point is that the timelines accelerated radically to a point of really nice stability on order of 100-ish days rather than the 300-ish days that we started with. So it's a great way to cut the idle time out of the review process and really concentrate the review efforts so that they're aligned from one side of the department to the other, and that they come together at known points in time and given to the applicant in a very complete fashion. Similarly, we envision 2x6 for land use actions as well. And this is important with 5290. Senate Bill 5290 revised the long-standing sections around what we've all called the 120-day clock, 3670B 080, that has been in place for a long time and has been the standard by which a jurisdiction should conduct local project review. 120 days cumulative clock time from completeness to decision. Well, what 5290 did is it differentiates that 120-day standard by the three primary permit types. Type one, meaning no public notice. These are the ministerial decisions. Type two are the administrative decisions. Type three go to the hearing examiner. Well, type ones, the new clock is 65 days. Type two, the new clock is 100 days. Type three, the clock is 170 days. And so these represent substantial, the way that this differentiates these time standards is very meaningful to us. Well, you notice here 2x6, 84 days, 3x6, just for reference, 126 days. This is our solution to the new standards coming effective 1-1 of next year, 2025 through 5290. So the structure is the same as what we just went through for the SDAP, two review cycles, 6 weeks each. And then at the end, there's this the land use decision part. So there's a set of notices. We have, of course, a CEPA determination many times, the staff report and decision or recommendation, the notices, the processing time for hearing examiner. These things occur at the end of the second cycle. And so that's the state of the art now. We are hosting a series of workshops internally and with the participation of our developer advisory group to now work through the detailed mechanics of what these 2x6 cycles look in specifics as an application is developed, and then how it flows through the department, including any participation by Public Works and Health. So those workshops are just about a week and a half away. So we have a large effort underway now to get specific about what 2x6 will look like on the daily. There'll also be review checklists and intake checklists, no surprise, on this side of the process. The last of the key improvements is we're establishing a lead engineer role within this process who helps work with the individual project leads. Each 2x6 SDAP has a project lead, and the lead engineer helps assure alignment and consistency and clarity so that when comments go out, they're very clear and actionable. And if there's a need for any tiebreakers, the lead engineer does that. And also, the lead engineer helps us keep integrated with Public Works. The last piece of the effort is to move review that is being performed today, many of the reviews being performed today by Public Works, back to DCD. The development engineering team was stood up back in 2001. To take on many of the review tasks that over time have drifted back to Public Works. We're correcting that now and creating the right optimum nowadays so that much of this review that Public Works is doing will be done by the DE team within DCD, giving a lot of great, helps us manage those internal project management mechanisms and make a more holistic DE review. Which actually reduces fragmentation by reducing the role of Public Works, magnifying that in DE team. We have fewer roles, reduced administrative effort of having that extra channel of review that we have today. So that's the long and short of the main part of the improvement efforts. It's exciting. You're going to be hearing about parcel reports. You'll be hearing about red, yellow, and green. Those are our type one improvements here. You're going to hear a lot about 2x6 and how that really is reformulating our approach to reviewing land use actions and SDAPs, all to get to these five principal needs that we've identified through our recommendations here, here at Kitsap County. The balance of the year is going to be very busy developing and maturing that technology, getting those intake checklists vetted and out for use, restoring that intake screening, implementing the red, yellow, and green routing, 2x6, as well as the land use version of that. Our department advisory group has been terrific. They've stepped up and they've developed a small working group. We're all rolling up our sleeves together and working around one table to refine what all these processes are in detail, checking these intakes checklists, making sure that everything is just right so that we, as we roll it out, that we know that the industry is ready and we know that the department is ready. Then it's a matter of clearing out the backlog of the work that has come in the old way to prepare room to implement the new. And lastly, we may need your help too. There's a couple of areas identified in the recommendations. One is around completeness. There's a bit of a gap in place that you have to pay your fees to be complete, but you can't pay your fees until it's passed through the Camino system. There's just a bit of a gap in there that we may want to fix in Title 21. And then expirations, when you have a permit that's held for another permit, there's an administrative effort on both sides of the counter to keep applications that are held for other applications from expiring. And it would be nice to just recognize that in code. And there may be some other areas too. So we may be reaching out to you through our long range team for some assistance for us to help us iron out some of the code pieces that'll enable our process to move even better. So in a nutshell, that's what our permitting side of the department is up to. And we're very excited about it. These are going to be really important and meaningful changes. And there's probably a role for you in this as well as we move forward. That's all I have for us tonight. And any questions or discussion?
He's a contractor.
Thank you for the presentation, Commissioner Shattuck.
Yes, you indicated this was going to be done in short order. Any idea what short order is?
Well, isn't that the question? So yeah. We would love pieces like the parcel report to be in place by January 1st. We would also love 2x6 to be in place by then. This is going to be paced by what we learn in the workshops. And furthermore, the very experts that we want to help us shape this are the ones that are cranking out development review right now. And so we have to be intentional about how we're multitasking our crew. I would say it's sometime between the end of the year and early next year to where we see these pieces coming online. But we'll have much better ideas about that. We meet with the board next in early August, and that'll be where we present the next tier of our implementation plan. And hopefully we'll have a much better sense of time at that point.
Okay, Commissioner Smith.
So I really appreciate the overview of all the working pieces and your expertise, bringing your experience with other counties and other systems here to Kitsap, because permitting has been an issue for us here. I'm curious, your listening sessions, did you talk to staff? Did you talk to our Kitsap Home Builders Association? I'm curious who provided you with feedback.
Great question. So obviously I met with the entirety of the team, as well as talked with Health and Public Works. I met with a variety of applicants. I met with some applicants that are new to development review and or new to Kitsap County. Mostly for the development of a new home. Talked with our department advisory group, the KBA, the Builders Association. And then through the course of that, I talked with a handful of other folks that have had experience with development permitting with the county to learn how it works today, where it went well, where it didn't. And I found substantial alignment where our applicants identified where things began to become problematic. Our internal staff members were saying the same thing, maybe for different reasons, but there was a high degree of intersection between what looked like a problem from the outside and what looked like a problem from the inside. And then of course we have the team has a magnificent array of data analytics in place already. Very sophisticated, many times working with a jurisdiction, we kind of dream about having some of the real analytics that we started with here. And so the data, became that third dimension for triangulating on these things. And the recommendations, these five that really stood out, is the intersection between those five. Those three.
Okay. Any other questions? No. And you did mention that the GIS data is being implemented. When will that be implemented into the parcel search?
Again, my guess is that it's end of the year, early next.
Okay. What,
that I imagine us to be working in sprints. So we'll add some functionality. We'll test incrementally. We'll add some more functionality, maybe just a portion of the county, and then sanity check the data. So I imagine a series of small phases that we'll go through, each one of which will mature the system one step further. And we'll do testing through our advisory group and that sort of thing. So that's roughly the timetable that I imagine it'll be deployed.
Okay. All right. Well, no other questions. That was a very wonderful presentation, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Thank you very much. A real pleasure.
All right. Okay. That concludes that. Unless there's any last minute comments. And if I don't hear any objections, I will close this meeting until our next meeting later this month. All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.